The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network
on News Talk.
Now, as we all know at this stage, British Prime Minister Boris Johnson yesterday announced he's standing down and he will formally quit number 10 when a successor has been selected. So attention, of course, is now turning to who that successor will be, and there doesn't seem to be a clear front runner. Our chief reporter, Barry White, joins us from London. Barry, where's your money on who's going to replace Boris?
Hey, Shane. Good morning. Yeah, well, if I knew the answer to who is going to replace Boris, I'd be a rich man. Because, as you say, there is no clear favourite at this stage. So far, senior Tory MP Tom Tugendhat is the first person to throw his hat into the ring to replace Boris Johnson, while the Transport Secretary here, Grant Shapps, is weighing up a leadership bid, as is former Health Secretary Sajid Javid, who, of course, was the first minister to resign earlier this week. But I suppose, Shane, Conservative MPs will have to gauge what kind of support they have within their own party, because ultimately that is who will decide their fate, because the next Conservative Party leader will be chosen by party members. But I asked these people outside Downing Street last night who they want to see as the next British Prime Minister.
Rishi Sunak. He's the only one that actually supported us, brought that furlough scheme on. And, you know, he's probably the best out of the lot of them, to be honest. The thing is, right, they're going to stay in power, right? They're going to stay for the next couple of years until the general election. And I think Rishi is the guy to lead them. Yeah.
No, I'll be quite honest, I've thought about it, but I think because we don't know a lot about the other candidates, it'd be interesting to see what we have got. We can't do worse. But it'd be interesting to see. We could have a lot better, hopefully.
I don't have any particular affection for any of his potential successors.
Who do you think will replace him, though?
I think there'll be some kind of backlash from the membership over him being replaced by sort of what they might perceive as sort of anti-democratic means, so being forced out despite having a huge majority. I think it'll be someone like Liz Truss. But I don't think she'll be quite the person that the sort of the Tory rank and file quite hope she will be.
I think Priti Patel will replace him, because I think she probably aligns with the beliefs of the rank and file the most from what I've seen.
Yeah, interesting there, Barry. Everyone you mentioned somebody different, Rishi Sunak, Liz Truss, Priti Patel. There are so many Tory MPs who could throw their hat into the ring.
Yeah, Shane, and I was speaking to some of the journalists here at College Green, just at the Houses of Parliament, you know, from Sky News and the BBC, and they're telling me that there could be 22 candidates for the Tory party leadership, which just shows you, as you say, how open this is. And to be honest, many of the people who throw their hat into the ring will not be household names in Ireland, or even here in England. The likes of Tom Tugendhat, who I mentioned earlier, has already entered the race. He's the current chair of the Foreign Affairs Select Committee, a former soldier who has been very critical of the war in Afghanistan. When he announced his bid last night, he said it would be a huge privilege to serve as Prime Minister, a job he once described as like winning the lottery. But when I was stopping people on the streets here in Westminster last night and this morning, a lot of people just don't even know who he is. So he will be seen as a rank outsider. But as I say, many more candidates will throw their names into the hat in the coming days. And I've been speaking to Harry Davis from Paddy Power, and he has run through who the candidates or who the favourites are.
The surprise early favourite in quite an open contest is Ben Wallace, who went from 7-1 on Wednesday night to as short as 9-4 on Thursday morning. I think it's likely we saw punters move to back the defence sector after a poll showed him beating all likely leadership rivals in a head-to-head contest. Wallace has since drifted very slightly to 11-4, but is still the favourite following some strong backing in the last 24 hours, while previous outright favourite Rishi Sunak, who only resigned as Chancellor a few days ago, is just behind him at 4-1. Penny Mordaunt, who has kept a pretty low profile over the last few days as chaos reigned over Westminster, hasn't received any significant endorsements yet amongst her Tory colleagues, but she is currently 5-1 to be the next Tory leader. Liz Truss, Tom Tugendhat and Sajid Javid are all at 9s, while Jeremy Hunt, the former health secretary, who was the outright favourite only a few weeks ago, is now out to 12-1. Of course, only a few candidates have formally declared so far, and with 8 candidates priced at 12-1 or lower, it does suggest this is quite an open contest. And given the way the Conservatives pick their leader, where Tory MPs get the candidate list down to two before it goes out to their membership, any currently unfancied candidate who can harness any early momentum might just be able to spring a surprise or two.
Given how open the betting is, does that just show that nobody really knows what is going to happen here?
Generally speaking, I think the reason that Boris Johnson lasted as long as he did is because even amongst his own Tory MPs, they couldn't decide between them who they thought would be the best person to replace him. And I do think we have seen that reflected in the betting markets with no real strong favourite emerging yet. And, you know, leadership contests can also produce quite surprise winners. In 2005, David Cameron won the leadership from David Davis, but David Davis was the favourite going into the contest. In 2015, you know, Jeremy Corbyn put his name forward for the Labour leadership, and his candidacy was seen as a bit of a joke, and he ended up winning, you know, fairly comfortably. In 2016, when David Cameron resigned, you know, the only question that people were asking was, who can stop Boris? And as it turned out, for the reasons we now know, he didn't even make it onto the ballot paper, with Theresa May ended up winning. So, you know, these contests can also produce quite surprise winners. That may be part of the reason a favourite hasn't emerged yet.
Okay, so Ben Wallace is the early favourite, Barry. He wouldn't be particularly well known in Ireland. What is his profile like across the water?
Yeah, he's not particularly well known here either, it seems. He is the current Defence Secretary, and the reason he's favourite is because he's popular within his own party, the Tory party. A recent YouGov snap poll asked 716 Conservative members who they would vote for, and in all scenarios, Ben Wallace won by a significant margin. He beat Liz Truss by 48% to 29%. He beat Rishi Sunak by 51% to 30%, and Jeremy Hunt by 58% to 22%. So that's why he's the early favourite, because as I mentioned earlier, 100,000 Tory party members will decide who'll be their next leader and the next British Prime Minister. So I asked these people on the streets of London this morning if they think he would make a good Prime Minister.
I quite like Johnson, but he done it all to himself. You know, it was all self-inflicted. He got some good things through, like Brexit, few other things, but he just fumbled into one problem into another.
The focus now is on who will replace him. There seems there could be 20 names going into the hat. Any particular preference?
I think Liz Truss will be good, you know, but then you've got to wait to come out and see what they propose to do. And I'd rather a Brexiteer take over, because I was a big Brexiteer fan to get out of the European Union.
The Defence Secretary, Ben Wallace, seems to be the current favourite.
Yeah, I looked at the betting yesterday. He's 2-1, and that's pretty short.
Do you think he would make a good Prime Minister? Do you know much about him?
Well, not really. I mean, he's obviously, the defence is a big job, you know, and he's done well on the Ukraine situation, working with Johnson, and I think he'd do a good job. There's about 3 or 4. Whittle all down these 20. To 3 or 4, and I think it'll be between him, Liz Truss, and maybe one other.
You told me you're a Brexiteer. You happy how things are going?
Not really, no.
It was overdue. It should have gone a while back with the parties, well before this latest pinch of event.
I suppose the focus now is on who replaces him. Do you have any preference, or...?
Not at all. Not at all. I think they're all vaguely untrustworthy. There's a lot of work to be done to rebuild trust in politics.
The favourite at the minute seems to be the Defence Secretary, Ben Wallace. Would you know much about him?
No, not at all. Don't know anything about him.
Should have gone long ago. He's just been taking the piss out of what's meant to happen. He's just done what he wanted.
The focus now seems to be on who will be his successor. There could be 22 names going into the hat.
Oh, good.
Do you have any particular preference?
Someone boring, someone who plays by the rules. That would be good.
The favourite at this stage seems to be the Defence Secretary, Ben Wallace. Do you know much about him?
I think he's Scottish and was an MSP, so that might help keep us with Scotland. So maybe that's a good thing.
So you think he would be a good choice?
Super.
Okay, Barry White, thanks indeed for bringing us that flavour of the mood on the streets of London. For more on this, we are joined by the former Attorney General and Conservative MP, Dominic Grieve, and by Guardian columnist, Raphael Baer. Raphael, I might go to you first. Potentially 22 names, incredibly hard to pick a winner, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and I think that sheer volume expresses something very important here, which is that the Boris Johnson sort of phenomenon, the Boris effect, what it sort of did was sort of defer a lot of very difficult questions about actually what the Conservative Party represents and what it wants to do, having sort of notionally got Brexit out of the way in 2019. Obviously, Brexit isn't out of the way, but you know what I mean. So once you then sort of taking Boris out of the picture sort of uncorks this blockage, and there's suddenly lots of very, very difficult questions that need to be answered. And it's actually, there's a kind of an identity crisis, I think, now in conservatism more generally. And that's why it's suddenly, you know, it's almost easier to name the people in the cabinet who don't think they could be the next leader than the ones who do. Because essentially the party got sort of swallowed up by, it became the Boris Party.
Interesting. So is this more, do you think, a battle about ideology rather than personality, do you think?
I think, yes, essentially more about ideology, but also there's a very big prior question there, which is to decide whether or not actually what they're looking for now is the antidote to Johnsonism and the antidote to Boris, or some kind of continuity with him. And it's very important, you know, this argument that he has been making in his defence and as a reason not to stand down, was this suggestion that the mandate from the 2019 general election was his personally, that getting Brexit done and all the rest of it, it was actually, it's almost a presidential system, and Boris was the single one person who could have achieved that. And the candidates now, and he's getting a lot of support on that from some of the Conservative supporting press. So the candidates now are going to have to decide whether they're going to run against Boris Johnson's legacy, or to say, well, you know, he had some awkward things with his personality, but actually the general thrust of what he was trying to do, what he was saying, was entirely right, and I will continue that legacy and I will inherit that mandate. And that's actually, those are two very, very different propositions in terms of the future of the Conservative Party.
As you're speaking, it kind of reminds me of when Stalin left. I'm not comparing Boris Johnson to Stalin, but they ultimately kind of went for a sort of first among equals in Khrushchev. Is that what do you think is likely to emerge this time around?
I think very often there's a sort of a swing of the pendulum, and what you get is in a new leader is someone who can be sort of the antidote to the old one. So John Major, this in style and manner, he did position himself as just, you know, everything that Margaret Thatcher wasn't, at least by the end in some respects. He was obviously Thatcherite in policy in most respects. Gordon Brown positioned himself as very much not Tony Blair in style and presentation. So there will be pressure to just be whatever it is Boris Johnson wasn't. But because Boris Johnson presented himself as everything to everyone and anyone, it's actually quite hard to know what that even is, while also being compatible with sort of decent, okay, sensible government and conservative tradition.
Dominic Grieve, sorry, you've been waiting very patiently there. Do you have a preference? What kind of leader would you like to see emerge?
I don't have a particular preference, and I'm totally uncertain as to who is going to emerge as party leader. I think what is needed is somebody with a clear sense of vision as to how the country can be taken forward in this post-Brexit world that we're in. Brexit is irreversible, but the consequences of Brexit have not been addressed. They have not been grappled with. And how the country manages it, its relations with its closest neighbours, how it succeeds in building wealth, which enables the well-being of its citizens, are all up in the air. What we've had instead is 3 years of chaos with a prime minister who has been long on rhetoric, chaotic in his administration, has delivered, bluntly speaking, almost nothing. I know that he's commended for the vaccine rollout, but I think, quite frankly, that would have happened with any prime minister. I don't think it's a particular thing that can be given to him. I approve of his Ukraine policy, but those are not the underlying fundamental problems with which the United Kingdom has to grapple. So we need somebody with a clear sense of vision, organisation, and the ability to rally people, because there are, I'm afraid now, deep ideological divisions within the Conservative Party, with people pulling in different directions. And because Boris Johnson has been so ruthless at destroying trust in institutions, the glue and cement that has historically held the Conservative Party together despite ideological differences, which has been respect for institutions, upholding propriety in government, have gone because he's trashed them. So the first thing that a new incomer needs to do is to restore confidence in those, because that will actually bring the Conservative Party back together, even with the inevitable ideological differences that exist within it. So the way this new Prime Minister conducts himself or herself will be absolutely crucial. But who's going to get it? I don't know.
Well,
is the simple answer.
No, fair enough. And I don't think anybody does. But I suppose, given the kind of attributes you're talking about there, the names like Tom Tuginhat, Rishi Sunak, they kind of jump to mind. And looking, I suppose, if I'm being honest, looking at with true Irish eyes, it's probably somebody like that we would like to see come true, just in terms of sorting out the protocol, for example.
Yes, and I can understand that. And Ben Wallace's name has been mentioned. It's unusual because Ben has had perhaps a slightly unusual background in government, but there's no doubt he's acquitted himself very well as Secretary of State for Defence. Although whether he's able to translate that onto a broader stage of the responsibilities of a Prime Minister, I simply don't know. These are the imponderables. I'm certainly not going to go on to names. I've decided I'm going to avoid that. I can think of a number of people who I would not wish to see as Prime Minister. There are undoubtedly a number of people.
Is Liz Truss one of them, can I ask?
Well, my concern about Liz Truss is that whatever her abilities may be, she seems to spend a great deal of her time in self-regarding stances. And I find it very difficult to match that to a serious prime ministership. Now, maybe I've misread her and she has the capacity to rise to the occasion. But somebody who spends her time going around with photo opportunities in front of buildings around the world, rather like a Chinese couple on honeymoon, is not somebody who I find easy to take very seriously.
Okay, how the leader is picked, I have to say, and lots of people will disagree with me, I personally think it should always be left to members of parliament or TDs here to pick a party leader. I think they have a better insight into who will make a good leader. That's not the way this leader is going to be picked, and it's not the way many parties here pick their leader. Does that make it more likely, Raphael, to bring you back in, does that make it more likely that someone of Boris's ilk will ultimately win the leadership?
I think it certainly makes it more likely that the position on Brexit will not be as moderated as many of us would hope, and as I'm sure Dominic Grieve was alluding there, one would hope with regard to, for example, the Northern Ireland Protocol, simply because if it goes to the membership, the candidates will feel obliged to make completing Brexit, purifying Brexit, as it is the sort of underlying concept behind this awful Northern Ireland Protocol bill that's making its way through Parliament at the moment, will make that part of their platform. So the idea that someone could stand up and say, look, we actually need sensible relationships with our neighbours, we really need to, okay, we've left the EU, but we need to actually have some kind of functional institutional relationship with the European Union, that if it was just down to Parliament, I think that would be an obvious position to take. When you're thinking about the membership, maybe that's not such an obvious position to take. So on that point alone, I think, yes, that the need to sort of retain that bit of the Boris Johnson legacy will be paramount, I think, unfortunately.
Dominic, just very briefly and finally, how long is this process going to take? Could Boris Johnson be in number 10 for 3 or 4 months yet?
Not 4 months. I would have thought myself, on the basis of what they're doing, that it will be finished by mid-September, so there will be, or might even be early September, so there will be announcement of a new leader, and he would then go, and the new leader would immediately become Prime Minister and have time to prepare for the Conservative Party conference. I think that's the timetable. Obviously, as you'll be aware, there's been some disquiet about Mr. Johnson staying in Downing Street at all. And clearly there are some Conservative backbenchers who are very unhappy about it. There's a Times leader this morning saying he should go immediately because his circumstances are entirely different from David Cameron's.
Is that likely to happen?
No, I suspect probably not. But it will be interesting to see what happens next week, because I assume that Keir Starmer may table the motion of no confidence in the government. And we're then going to have the sight of Mr. Starmer attacking the Prime Minister, pointing out that the ministers on his front bench, many of them have denounced him in the last week as being unfit for office, yet prepared to sit in his administration and shore him up. And I would have thought that that's going to be a pretty embarrassing moment for the Conservative Party after what's happened over the last week. Although I dare say that they will rally round and support the Prime Minister, because they're clearly not going to bring the government down on a motion of no confidence.
Okay, Dominic Grieve, former Attorney General, former Conservative MP, and Raphael Baer, Guardian columnist. Thanks to both of you for joining us. Interesting times ahead in the UK, no doubt about that.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.